the hornet's nest.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I have still got it going on at the ripe old age of 73. I got a popping home skillet popping.
Every show you tell me that, and I believe it for some reason. You got more energy than I do, and I'm only half your age.
I'm just so excited about the new show we might start.
Oh, yeah. I heard you mentioned it right before we go on air here.
Exposing local liberal lies. We have an anonymous sponsor that contacted me. Would I consider doing that because we have so much information coming in on these clips? And I thought I'd propose it over the air with you. I think it would be great. He's got a time spot. He said we can start May 7th at 7 p.m. right here on KCNR. So I think we're going to do it.
Well, that's past their bedtime, so they may not listen. But that's okay.
That's okay. I'll go to bed early and I'll be ready. I'll sleep in that day.
You can take a nap.
Lots of interesting things going on. The supervisors had quite a meeting, and the gist of it is District 1 Supervisor Kevin Cry brought a resolution that essentially says Shasta will not be a sanctuary county. And he's referring to, I call them illegal immigrants. What do we call them? Uninvited guests?
Criminals. I call them all criminals because they're not here legally. And before anybody gives a bad opinion of me and my opinion, my wife and I had to come from Holland. And let me tell you, it's an arduous process. Back 30 years ago, it cost $2,500 and took 1 year, but we did it legal. The people you're referring to are criminals. They've
broke the
law.
You know, the big difference there is your wife is pretty. Some of these uninvited guests, they weren't Playboy centerfold material.
Well, and that'd be kind of weird considering most of them are military-age men. I wouldn't expect a lot of Playboy centerfolds there. But, you know, it is the modern world. They could identify as a female. You just don't know.
Well, what ensued at the meeting was an hour sometimes of uncivil discourse. I was there, and guess who was there in form to protest, to yell about, we are a nation built by immigrants.
Legal immigrants.
Welcome
legal immigrants.
Everybody. The recall committee.
Of course.
And there must have been 20, 25 of them.
Yep.
And, oh, gosh, we've got to bring them in. They'd be happy if they dropped off a busload every week in Shasta County here. But, you know, the thing is, they did drop off a busload within the last 2 weeks. Patrick Jones and Kevin said he saw the video. I think Patrick and Kevin went down there and watched and asked questions from people, but they dropped off between 75 and 100. They got off the bus and just dispersed, and they have video of it.
Well, you know, this is the great stupidity that is liberalism, is it's all great to bring people in. Why don't those people put their hands up, all those recall idiots, and why don't they take those immigrants into their house?
I absolutely suggested that. They could put them in bedrooms. They could stack them up like the Bethel kids.
There we go. And then the government would pay them like they do for all of the other stuff they're paying for. But that's just one of those things where you just so out of touch stupidity that they have this idea that we are a nation of immigrants. Yes, they came in, they legally, they went through the line, they paid their dues, they assimilated, they wanted to become Americans. These people have none of the above qualities.
Well,
none.
We're a different country than when we started our country.
Yeah.
In 1492, we came over here as, I don't know, refugees. From the kind of government they're trying to build right now. We were refugees from there. We wanted to come over here and govern ourselves. And these liberals here, they want government to supply everything. They want government to tell us what we can do and what we can't do.
Nope. Nick, for everybody listening, Nick just lied and was wrong. They want the government to tell you and I what to do, but not them. They want to set rules that you and I have to play by, but not that they themselves have to play by. That's the difference, Nick. So you were partially right.
That we have to pay for it, not them.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So that, you know, that's the difference between a conservative and a liberal. Conservative sets rules that we ourselves would abide by and expect everybody else to. Liberals set rules that everybody else has to abide by, but they don't have to. So when these morons protest about the fact that there are these illegal criminals coming to our country, and we should just welcome them with open arms, I suggest that for everyone that comes in, we identify the recall crew, and we get them to pay individually for each one of those people. I'll guarantee you, much like Martha's Vineyard and Obama, those boats or those buses would stop instantaneously.
Well, Kevin Cry brought up the point that this is the humane thing to do, is to not let them come here because we don't have the resources to take care of them. We don't have the resources to take care of our own citizens right here. We're stretched so thin, and they want to start dumping them off on us.
Mm-hmm. Well, San Francisco is already doing that. We had that lady that testified, and I say testified, spoke at the Board of Supervisors. And I'm sorry, this is not a racist comment, but she was a black lady. That was the video. She said she owned, I think, an apartment building or something, some here in Reading. And anyway, she got up to air for 3 minutes and talked about how she had to pick up a family member, an acquaintance, I don't know who it was, but it was a busload of people getting dropped off from San Francisco who couldn't have their cell phone until they got off the bus. And that was directly in the archives. You can look it up. I'm not making it up. Sure. And so that's already been happening, Nick.
Yeah, and you know what? I sent that video of that meeting of her speaking to Police Chief Shuler, and he couldn't find her.
That's what's so weird.
And I sent it to the city council, and Jack Munn says, well, you know, unless you can give us a license plate or something like that, you know, it's not really happening. They've really been dumping them off in hordes here in the last month.
Well, I told you. I actually had pictures on my phone. I don't know if I kept them any longer, but I followed a white bus with Mexican plates, Mexican being this country, not an ill, you know, a curse word, and followed her to the Walmart parking lot, and it was a busload of people that were not here for tourism reasons.
Was it a white bus?
It was a white bus.
So was the bus down there where they dumped them off close to the new In-N-Out?
That's where it was. Well, I was down in Walmart parking lot just around the corner from In-N-Out.
No, the new one. Go ahead.
Oh, and anyways, I sat there and took pictures, and I'm telling you, The people looking back at me, I mean, I'm sure there was a cartel person probably had a red dot on my chest. But the reality is they were not tourism. They were not here to see America.
Jason Miller saw them dumping off parolees from San Quentin down on 273 in front of his old sandwich shop.
Oh, yeah.
Saw with his own eyes. They've been doing this, and our leaders here are denying it. And they know damn well it's true. I'll bet you Scott Munns, well, it's not Scott Munns, it's Jack Munns, who was a police officer, I think, for close, I don't know, 20 years over in Nevada. I'll bet he knows all about Nevada sending their derelicts over here.
I wouldn't know about that, but I will tell you, this is reminiscent of something that happened. When I first moved here in 1997 from Europe, after coming here legally with my wife, going through the immigration process, I just want to make sure we're all clear, we did that, as white people, I got into the real estate business, and back then, the big thing that we had to deal with was the registered sex offenders. And what I found in doing research is back in the early 90s, the state was paroling their registered sex offenders, giving them a one-way ticket and $50 and dropping them all off in Shasta County, Reading in particular. And so on a per capita basis, we had the highest number per capita of registered sex offenders, I think almost in the nation. And it was exactly the same thing back then. They were sending them here in busloads. And now we've got the illegals coming.
So, what? Leader of the recall, Jeff Gorder.
Yeah.
This is another example of the board majority creating problems that don't exist. Typical liberals.
Yep. At least not in their world.
Here's one guy. He got up there. I'm not going to say who it was. I listened to Sheriff Johnson's presentation, and he presented statistics from San Ysidro. And he presented murder rates from Tijuana. Reading is not San Ysidro. Shasta County is not Tijuana. And the one thing he didn't mention, and I will ask any one of you board members, what is the crime rate of undocumented immigrant population of Shasta County? You don't know. Sheriff, maybe you can present that statistic to us. Well, you know, the undocumented immigrants here in Shasta County that have been here for quite a while, they're working in the strawberry fields. They have families. They might even have a green card. But they're working. They keep a low profile, and they don't cause trouble. These people that are coming in now, they aren't going to have a job. And
no.
They're going to be getting money, but they're going to be standing around. And, you know, idle time is the devil's workshop. And we don't have jobs for them. If we could give them a job, we don't have them.
Well, again, this goes to the liberal stupidity, and I'm being very brushed today on this whole thing because, you know, their argument is crime is going down. No, we've made it that you can almost report no crime. I mean, you get to steal $950 from any store, just go on in, just pick $927.43, and you're not going to get arrested. You don't have to return the merchandise necessarily. People didn't know that.
They write you a parking ticket.
And they write you a citation, which may or may not go into a file. And if you're not an American with a paper trail already here, the chances are they're probably not even going to write the damn ticket because the cops, you know, God bless those guys, but they know it's going to go nowhere. Our DA is going to do nothing because the state law, and I mean our DA is worthless anyways, but the state law, it prohibits her from doing it. And so this idea that I want to see crime statistics, well, most of the crime that happens in Shasta County, I would argue if you talk to the chief and to the sheriff, are mostly crimes happening under $900 because they know for as bad as people as they are, and don't give me the crap about they got drugs and all that, they're bad people. They know to stay under $900.
Oh, hell yeah. Heck yes.
And so this idea that that our crime rate is low, go talk to any store. Go talk to the big stores. Crime is up.
Let me bring something else to your attention. Please. I'll wager when they go and pick up somebody for shoplifting and they book them and ship it on to the district attorney and the district attorney decides not to press charge, that doesn't count as a crime.
No.
But just the ones they decide to prosecute counts as a crime.
Well, the thing is, you know, you'll hear these stories about such and such just got picked up and had 19 outstanding warrants. What the hell happened to the other 18? How did this person manage to build up an additional 18 warrants? Back, you know, 10 years ago, there would have been one or two warrants, but then...
Oh, no, 20 years ago.
Yeah, maybe 20
years
ago.
I'll tell you what happened. Leonard Modi didn't build us a jail.
Yeah.
But he's a Republican, you know, a conservative. You know, I have decided. Now, listen, when somebody tells you they're conservative, why did they do that? I don't tell people I'm conservative just in a normal conversation.
No, I only tell them if I get asked.
And I worked, I got to know a guy, Chuck Chain. He's passed on now. He made tons of money here in Reading. And he told me one time, he says, Nick, when I start dealing with somebody and say we're negotiating a deal, when they mention, by the way, I'm a Christian, he says, I walk away. And I think when somebody tells you, by the way, I'm a conservative, it might be a good idea to walk away because why would they bring that up?
Well, I will tell you, I will defend my position in this respect. As you and I know, we both have this radio show, and sometimes people will get to me at my work hours and talk to me about our show and our slant, which is obviously conservative. And then when I was on with Carl and Linda last month, Linda did about a 15-minute interview of me and asked me point blank, are you a conservative? And I said I was absolutely a diehard conservative. So, but otherwise, I don't go around wearing on my sleeve. I mean, if you talk to me, you'll probably get a gist by my answers what I am, but I don't need to go and promote it everywhere.
Well, it's going to be so much fun picking on the local liberals. Exposing local liberals, May 7th, 7 p.m. So we've got excited. Oh, well, I want to bring one more thing up about the supervisors meeting. Bruce Russell called the border crisis an intentional act of those in charge of immigration. Clearly, the Constitution is being violated as this is an invasion. Bruce speaks at the supervisors meetings, and he makes a lot of sense when he gets up there and talks.
Well, you know, let's just go common sense. So if you liberals really open your ears, clear the wax out. In any other time in American history, going back from the founding of our country, if we had 10 million unwanted, illegal, undocumented people flooding our country, we would have previously all agreed that was an invasion. It's only because liberals change words, and words used to matter. I'm not sure they matter as much anymore, that now it's not an invasion. It's just undocumented or unhoused people.
I would wager it's an invitation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they...
Hey, I've got a paragraph I want to read to you. It's from a little book called Imprimis. It comes from Hillsdale College. If you go online, you can get a copy of this sent to you each month. It makes so much sense, and it's free. The Trump administration had brought apprehensions down to between 800 and 1,500 a day in his final year in office, the lowest numbers in 45 years. 4 months into the Biden administration, apprehensions spiked at about 6,000 per day. There were 204 million apprehensions in 2022, a daily average of 6,575. In 2023, there were 3 million apprehensions, a daily average of 8,200. Entering 2024, apprehensions were went up to 12 to 15,000 per day. This is a completely liberal-caused problem.
It is on purpose. It's their game plan. They're promising these people in California, because it's run by a bunch of idiot liberals, have done it. They're trying to turn these people into voters. And the voters are going to vote only one way. And what's funny, Nick, is the folks who've come here before and gone through the system and are legal, they are overwhelmingly conservative. The Mexicans, the folks from Asia, because they love the American system of hard work and ethic, and they came through the front door, and they paid, and they did. And some of them, of course, let's be blunt, some of them did come illegally, but they went through the system, took the years it took to get there. I think it's 5 or 10 years before you can actually qualify. And they're very against this illegal immigration, because it's hitting them as well, because these folks come in, and let's call a spade a spade. American business people are also to blame here, because when they're having to go hire somebody for $17 an hour, or they can get an undocumented illegal criminal for $4 an hour, they're doing that. And, you know, hotel trades and whatever. And so it is an on purpose destruction of our society.
I would argue it's the government that put them business people in that position.
Well, yeah.
They've made it too easy to survive without a job.
Well, you know, we don't have it here, but I've seen the videos. When you go down to the big cities, L.A., Bay Area, that if, let's say you're doing a project on your house. Okay, you're doing a project on your house. You don't go hire the local person who's paying E&O, workman's comp, liability, all the licensing, the bonding.
Because that's the reason that you have to pay so much for them.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
All the insurance, all the permits, all everything.
Well, they go down
to a lot of it's not necessary.
Well, no, they go down to Lowe's and they literally do a pickup truck full of 6 or 8 illegal men, and they'll pay them all maybe $20 a day versus what it would cost to hire an American. This is damaging the fabric of our society at
Absolutely.
All levels. So, and unfortunately, as is being witnessed by these absolutely asinine pro-Nazi Palestinian, demonstrations, Our youth is just too stupid to understand right from wrong. Just literally. I mean, these folks
haven't been taught right from wrong.
Well, no, they haven't been taught, because it's indoctrination all for years now from the liberal side. Nobody's ever got, oh, these kids are indoctrinated from conservatives. You've never heard that one time in the last 20 years. And we're paying the price for that. And immigration and open border is an intentional destruction of our society.
So let's go to our first set of clips on the city council meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they have been so interesting. Are you ready, Christina? Woohoo! Get her popping.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of questions. Is Mr. Stein here? I know nothing about Mr. Stein other than I believe he is the director of music at Bethel. Is it media? Okay. So that's all I know. I don't know what his background is in planning. I do know that when Mayor DeQuisto appointed Marcus Parton, in my interview with him, I learned that he had over 40 years of experience in planning. And I don't see that coming from Mr. Stein. Mr. Johnson, are you in the House? My question for you, sir, is it's my understanding that you intend to run for city council. Is that still true or no?
Not known yet.
It's not known yet. Well, you told me that you wanted to run for city council, and I don't know how that conflicts with being on the planning commission. So for those reasons, I'll be voting no on this item. Thank you.
Yes. Councilmember DeQuisto.
Thank you. I just had several observations. I'm a little bit confused. When I was the mayor, I made some appointments. If an existing volunteer on one of the committees wanted to re-up and continue working, I thought that was a good idea, and I would reappoint that person because he or she has experience, they have interest, they're working for free, except they get a clock when they're done. I'm sure they're not doing it just for the clock. And I think it's a good thing for the city. So my understanding is that Mr. Parton is willing to go for another 4 years, and then Mr. Middleton is willing to go for another 4 years, and that when conversations were had with Ms. Audette, they were told, no, I have somebody else in mind. So I'm confused as to why you would bring somebody new in when you have two experienced people that are willing to go and continue working. The second thing is, the Planning Commission is going to have to approve or preliminarily approve the Riverfront Specific Plan. Mr. Johnson spoke during the hearing several years ago when McConnell and K2 were making the unsolicited offer to buy the rodeo grounds of the Convention Center, and he was adamantly in favor of that sale, so I think his mind is already made up. I don't think he's a big rodeo fan, but he may disagree with that. And I think that it creates more obstacles and doesn't fairly represent the city to have those people go in there. So I would make a motion to appoint Mr. Parton and Mr. Middleton for 4 years each, and they both told me they'd be willing to accept that.
I'll second.
It's actually not up for a vote. It's my appointment, but thanks for offering your suggestion.
What do you say to that? You know what that did is that threw two more nails in the coffin for the city center and the Posse grounds.
Yep.
They're giving them away.
Well, and for those folks who are out there thinking they're going to vote for old Miss Audette, let that sink in, the arrogance. That's not up for discussion, even though Mike DeQuisto laid out exactly why he thought it was good to continue. And the one of the people being considered hasn't even interviewed for this position, and Miss Audette is going to ramrod him, as you probably will know or hear. And it just, the arrogance by which that woman lives is astounding. It goes back to when she was appointed mayor. She should have stepped aside and let Mr. Mark have it. And she's now going to be full Monty. I am the king. I am the ruler. And what I say goes, and nothing you say. And so it's going to get heated, I think, in the rest of the year.
Well, let me point one thing out. This Stein, he is a Bethelite. So is Julie Winter. So is Tanessa Audette. So is Jack Munns.
So is Mr. Stein. Or Johnson.
Well, Johnson goes to the Stirring.
Okay, which, that was right. There was confusion.
You know,
on that.
And there is confusion about whether the Stirring is Bethelites or not. One person I talked to told me that it was started by people that were disenchanted with Bethel.
Oh.
And didn't like the direction it's going. But anyway, we've got, I don't know, some minutes coming on. So anyway, that's what they're doing. They're stacking it with Bethelites. Do we have time for the next clip? No, we don't have time for the next clip. Okay, well, we're going to have a clip that hitchhikes on that, and then we've got more clips. Now, let me read to you where you can find this in the archives. You go to the Redding City Council website, click on Video Archives, then click on Medium Meeting Videos at top. Scroll down to the bottom, click on Redding City Council. Scroll down just a tiny bit, and you can click. For this one, it's the April 2nd meeting video, and it starts at 30 minutes and 15 seconds. So you can skip to there, and it goes on for 15 or 20 minutes, them arguing back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And it is quite interesting, and it'll give you a perspective on the personalities that are clashing.
We'll see you after the break.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Join us on May 1st for an event with Protect Kids California featuring Aaron Friday and Chloe Cole. Friday will discuss the pitfalls of transgender ideology emphasizing parental rights and child well-being. Cole will share advice for supporting children with gender identity issues. Attendees will watch gender transformation and learn about transgender movement facts, communication strategies, legal rights in California, and raising awareness. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Text M4L to 530-285-3665 for event details. Snacks and soda provided.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Are you wanting a new look for your kitchen or bathroom? At Design Time and Tile, they have granite slabs on sale for $500. You heard correct. Only $500 on select granite slabs. Look for the orange tags. Design Time and Tile's orange tag sale only lasts while inventory lasts. So shop today. Stop by their showroom at Clear Creek Road and Highway 273 and speak with one of their design consultants. Or visit their website, designtime.store. Design Time and Tile, again voted best in the North State.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
We've got a video coming up.
First of all, I find it incredibly offensive that someone would come up here and say that we shouldn't have somebody in any position in the city based on what church they go to. That's just crazy. I can't imagine somebody coming up here who was Jewish and we said that about them or because they're African American.
Actually, nobody went up there and said we can't have them on the city council because they're Bethelites. What they said is you're stacking the planning commission. Because you three are Bethelites, now you're replacing a couple what I can call local conservatives with Bethelites that would like to give our civic center away.
Yeah, and not only local conservatives, but conservatives who have served and done a good job on the Planning Commission, and they're now being kicked out pretty much on a tenace a dette because, you know, DeQuesto did make a motion that he wanted Middleton and he wanted the other gentleman to continue moving forward. And Audette just basically said, doesn't matter what you want. I'm doing my own thing. And it is stacking, and I do believe the rodeo grounds are they're a target. I don't think that rodeo grounds are long for this world, in my opinion.
Well, it's hard to tell. They can't just kick them off and go find your own spot. I think the McConnell Foundation might come up with a spot for them. They own property all over the country.
Yeah, they do.
And they might do that to soothe our feelings.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
I'd like to see them move down to Cottonwood Stockyard. That'd fix Reading.
Well, you know, that would be an interesting point of view. Get them out of the city and have the tourism and the money and all head down to the county and leave the city without. I think that would be interesting.
Yes, we could be the Bend of California.
There you go. I don't know if I want that. The Bend of California. Ooh, there's a lot of liberals living up there.
Have you noticed how many liberals are living around here now?
Well, I mean, by our voting rolls, that we've been told we have a 2-to-1 advantage, but by the voting results, I would say it's 2-to-1 the other way.
Well, all the dead people are liberals. They're voting liberal.
Oh, but they vote twice, though.
Yeah. So I guess there is just half as many as they're claiming, huh? Okay, well, we're going to go to some more clips. Now, this clip is these clips are concerning the council wanting to get rid of a guy named Hatch. He is the head commissioner for the planning department. And he said something that really offended Julie and Tanessa and Jack. And so we're going to play a video of them, and then we're going to play a video of him, what he said. And I can't find anything offensive in it. And they've taken it like, you know, he's throwing darts at them or something.
They're liberals. Forget the fact that they may be supported by the local Republican. They're liberals. They're offended by anything and everything that doesn't agree with their mantra, their policies, and or their delusion. So let's listen to it.
Okay, this is the meeting on the 16th, the Reading City Council meeting. Shoot.
But where I am struck and concerned with April 9th. And in the last meeting when Commissioner Hatch accused the staff and the lawyer and all of them of colluding, of some kind of a crime, as though the letter and the email and the comments made were not enough for us to understand the position that he was taking, that somehow that they could influence us in such a way that they'd have to violate the law to communicate that, that was just a step too far. And I don't know if the remedy is removal, but I also don't know how you move forward on a body when you're accusing staff of crimes. So I'm not sure what the council wants to do or is willing to do, but I feel like that just went too far.
I
would concur, and it pains me to say this, but I do think if the council has the authority, I would like to discuss and consider removal of Mr. Hatch from the Planning Commission, with the mayor bringing back, looking at applications and bringing back another candidate to complete Mr. Hatch's term. I don't know that we can get past this. I think the environment of the Planning Commission is pretty divisive and toxic, and we it's just not going to be good, healthy for the Planning Commission.
Okay, that was Julie Winter, morally challenged in my opinion, as is Tanessa Audette from what I can see so far. Now we're going to go to what Commissioner Hatch said. This is a Planning Commission meeting that was the 9th of April, and it was right at the end, and this is a clip that is offended them so much that this is just going to shut down everything the Planning Commission does because this guy is so against them. And Christina's doing a great job getting to the Planning Commission. It's a different site, and it's easy to find. So let's give it a shot, Christina.
I do want to bring up, that's actually not a bad segue. You know, in general, I have tried to assume positive intent with regard to a lot of the things that we go through, even if we disagree on things. But I was really caught off guard and kind of out of the blue with an hour and 45-minute notice that we planning commissioners were not really advised to speak at city council. And I just feel like that it's hard for me to see a way that it doesn't feel like staff was trying to, you know, kind of design a specific outcome by using, you know, avoid legal risks by having any of us planning commissioners speak. And the reason I say that is, you know, I've been a pretty keen observer of city council and planning commission for a while. And I've seen, you know, during the downtown specific plan and certainly with CSAC, I see CSAC commissioners up at the die all the time. So I think it's pretty non-standard to have commissioners not speak during city council hearings. And I also kind of given the context that this was a hung jury, you know, at planning commission. So having commissioners that wanted to speak to be able to voice their opinions during a 3-minute public comment seems fairly reasonable. And then, you know.
Wow. You know, if you listen to the guy, I can hear the hatred, the anger. I was just totally offended, Nick. Because he spoke common sense. Why is all of a sudden, with Mrs. Audette's city council, this has now become a problem? Let that sink in.
And he just voices his opinion. Why weren't we invited to give our input when you're making
the planning commission issue?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because, you know, again, this is Audette, and you Republican people that are supporting it with the party, this is who she is. She's going to be the boss. She's going to take control. And if you don't speak her language, she's going to blackball you. And I didn't find a single thing he said remotely offensive. He just said that it seems like the workers were providing information to get a desired outcome. Instead of letting the Planning Commission people come in and actually say X, Y, and Z in public, on the record, and I got to say, that seems like that's a pretty bizarre little stance.
What happened is there's seven planning commissioners on there.
Yep.
Marcus Parton excused himself because of a conflict of interest. He owns some property that's closer in the riverfront specific plan. And so it was a 3-3 tie.
Okay.
And Cameron Middleton, and I don't know who the other ones were, but Cameron was, in my opinion, probably against what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they sure didn't want him speaking because he's very well spoken.
Yes, he is. I know Cameron very well.
And that's what blew this whole thing up. It looks to me like somebody's got their panties in a bunch because they're not getting their way just handed to them in a silver platter. But I want to announce right now that I am getting on the bandwagon to elect Tanessa Audette to the State Assembly. Megan Daly's spot she's vacating just to get her out of Reading.
Nick, again, we have a disagreement here. I want to get the Liberals out of government completely, 100%, not leave one in. They're like a cancer. And you leave one cell in the body, and it's going to destroy it. And if and she may be running as a quote-unquote Republican. It's not. Her actions, her lack of ethics, morals, standards, that's what liberals do. And she's acting exactly like a liberal. And we're gonna see just how liberal her and Winters and Munns are on the city council.
Well, maybe when Kathy Darling Allen's replaced, I don't know who's going to replace her, we can get on the ballot liberal conservative Bethelite.
There you go, as a job description.
We'll have three choices for parties.
Well, I think that for replacing the registered voters, Kathy, we should reach out to George Soros' organization, because apparently Kathy loved to do a presentation for George Soros, maybe the most evil man on planet Earth. So since we're losing her, maybe we could find another Jewish-hating person who made money off killing people. Just saying, maybe we could find those people.
Even if they're from Jewish ancestry.
Even if they're from Jewish ancestry from Hungary. Yes, let's see if George Soros has somebody who can replace Kathy.
He might have a cousin. Well, I think his kid's taking his place. Alex.
His kid is taking over. So why don't we get the next register of voter from their list of possible people?
Let's get a hold of Alex.
Well, let's do that.
I mean, he could move somebody to Reading like Kathy Darling Allen did from Washington D.C. Hey, now this third clip we're going to play. We're back to the Reading City Council, the same meeting. This is so disrespectful towards Mark Mazzano that I couldn't believe somebody would say this, and he handled it with so much class and dignity. This guy is a class act, if
yes.
I ever saw one. I've never seen him say a bad word about somebody.
No, I mean, we interviewed him when he was running, and he was on our show, and I just got the impression of a buttoned-up guy who, you know, he was a cop, so he was used to getting yelled at and screamed at and keeping his demeanor, and I just thought he was a class act. I really did.
Absolutely he is. He's the best, probably one of the best city council members I have.
Yeah.
He sure beat Kit. Well, I'm not supposed to use names. Could we go with that clip now?
Bethel juggernaut at work again, just like I said last week. This is crazy.
That's BS. Stop. Well, just stop.
We just
need to be done with the bigoted comments. Do not reference my church again. It has nothing to do with this. Nothing. And I'm tired of you making bigoted comments about it.
I'm entitled to give my opinion, and I try.
You're not entitled to have a bigoted comment about my church. My church has nothing to do with this.
Would you let me finish, or are you going to just keep interrupting?
Depends on if you say bigoted comments. I will stop you.
Well, there's a First Amendment right to say whatever you want to say.
Well, there's a decorum here, and we don't allow that decorum. And if any other staff member said that, they would have disciplinary action. And I don't think you're above the staff. I don't think you're above anybody. You should probably have a higher standard.
I'm an elected official.
So, yeah.
So, I would say
demonstrate some decorum.
I would say the same for the two of you. But the video says what the video says. People can watch it and come to their own conclusions. What I would say is if you want to remove planning commissioner, you should follow some basic due process rights, which would include giving him or her notice and say, we're going to put this item on. Would you like to comment? The other way that you do it is if you want to remove an employee, you suggest to the employee, maybe you should resign because we're unhappy with you and avoid the public embarrassment of being removed in public. Anybody, any human being is entitled to that courtesy. I don't see either of those things happening here. I just see rolling like Sherman through Georgia. And I don't think it's fair to Mr. Hatch. I don't think it's appropriate. And I'm not going to vote in favor of removing him.
Can you let us know what that is?
Okay. So that's the way Mike DeQuisto sees it. You know, somehow I missed the clip where Mark Mazzano said he would have liked to have the opportunity to interview this Stein fellow.
Oh, no, we started off with that one. He said that he asked if Stein was in the audience, and there he wasn't there. And Mark went on to say, I don't know anything about him. I would like to meet him. I'd like to talk to him. And so Mark did bring it up in that
first
clip.
Do you remember what Tanessa Ossett said?
Well, I don't think we played that clip, but I did watch the videos that you sent to me. And basically, I'm not sure it was Odette. I think it was Winters who said that she's known Stein for a million years, and he's a top-notch individual. And blah, 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 blah. But Stein himself has not made himself apparently available to either Mr. DeQuisto or Mr. Mazzano.
Mark said, I would have liked the opportunity to interview him before this was announced. And Odette said, well, when you're mayor, you can do that, Mark.
Yeah.
What a low blow after they beat him out of the mayorship.
Stole it.
Last year in his... term. I sure hope he runs again. He's got till June to announce. And, you know, I just thought that was a kick in the crotch. Low class.
Well, that's it. She is low class. I mean, you know, it goes back to when she filed her election papers to run for the state. She had already put on there Reading mayor, and then when she got caught, then it was like, oh, well, it was supposed to be vice mayor. Either way, she knew, Julie Winters knew, and Mums knew that they were going to nominate her beforehand, which I think is a Brown Act violation, and I've been told there's some looking into it. I don't know if it's gone anywhere, so let's just call that what it is. I don't know if it's going to do anything. And in today's world, you can be a complete terrorist, treason in the White House, and you're not going to be held accountable.
Well, but, she was mayor pro tem, and she put down MYR for an abbreviation.
Yeah.
Could kind of cover that.
Yeah. But regardless, you know, anybody with class would have said, because she knew she was going to be mayor. I mean, that wasn't a problem. It was just a system. If you get elected to the city council in your 1 or 4 years, you will most likely, unless you completely piss people off, which is even more a shame for Mark because he did such a great job. But normally you're guaranteed you will be mayor for one term or 1 year of your term, and they stole it.
Absolutely.
They completely stole it from that man, and he deserved to be mayor. He's done more for the city than Odette, Winters, or Mums will ever do.
You know, another thing I want to bring up is that Johnson, and I didn't get a chance to look and see who he is, but Bill Johnson that runs Methil, he's got some sons. I wonder.
Well, I know Mr. Johnson passingly. I've spoke to him a couple times in real estate. I couldn't tell you good, bad, or different. I know that he is or works with a local developer doing something. He's built some buildings in downtown and down off of Gervan that are very different. I mean, they're not... I don't want to use the word traditional to our Reading, but I mean, they're very kind of modern, big city. There's one across from Woody. There's two of them across from Woody's restaurant. And if you go down to Yvonne, he's got about five houses down there, and they're just very square, modern, what you would expect to see like in Portland or San Francisco. And so that's what I do know about him. So I can't say good or bad. I just know that he does very modern building.
It sounds like that he's one of them that wants to grow Reading big.
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Reading's going to grow big whether we want to or not. It's how we grow big.
That's right. Okay, well, listen, these clips have been coming in, you know, low volume. You might have to really turn your radio up to listen. This last clip, I think it's Odette asked the city attorney something, and I found his answer just comical. He says, more than Christian Schrader ever thought about it, and she was the, so let's play that last clip, Christina.
Can you let us know what the proper procedure is?
Certainly. Your ordinance does, as I think was alluded to, allow for removal of a planning commissioner There isn't any particular notice requirements. I would say there isn't a due process issue. There's no property interest in the Office of Planning Commissioner. On the other hand, whatever processes or notice of procedures you were to choose to take, that's really at the discretion of the council.
Okay, I saw you missed two.
There's
10 there. 10 ums.
In the span of about half a second. Well, I got to tell you, not everybody has the gift of gab, and I was a sufferer of ums disease as a younger man. I had a speech I gave to a class once, and the teacher at the end of it said all I ever said was um, so I won't beat the man too bad, you're going to get asked these questions. Have better answers and don't use so many ums is what I would have as advice. What do you got next, Nick?
Well, not much. Going back to dropping the illegals off here, Tim Garman asked the attorney there and CEO Rickert, might I add that they're doing a wonderful job, if we had the right to transport them someplace else. And I thought, well, do they have the right to transport them here?
That's never part of the question. It's like, the green energy scam. Every bit of it's a scam. The solar, the electric cars, the electric bikes, every bit's a scam. They say what it's going to save. They don't tell you what it costs in energy to get there. So you don't get to ask what led to something. You only have to believe what comes after that fact. And so the fact that we got dropped on doesn't apparently count that we can't drop them back.
Well, it wasn't a matter that we wanted to just load them up and haul them off someplace else. We, in my opinion, the way it was going to work is we would tell them, we don't have the services to help you. We'll give you a ticket to anywhere you want to go where they do have the services. It wasn't like we're pull a gun out and put them on chains and throw them on a bus and haul them to Portland.
Well, Nick, you're not paying attention. We could do what New York and I believe it was Chicago have done. They ran out of their hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars, yours and mine, even though we're not there, our taxes went to it, and they just shut down the centers and basically put them on the street. That's all they did. They didn't ask them where they wanted to go. They just shut down the center. So maybe we could do something like that. But we don't have a center, so I don't know how you'd do that either.
We're going to have a center. We're going to have a daycare center down here next to the Goodwill Rescue Mission. The city of Reading is financing it with a $3 million forgivable loan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was talking to a guy today, Wayne, and a fellow that works for Wayne. His brother is on the city council in Red Bluff.
Oh.
And they took their money, and what they're doing is they're putting in infrastructure on some ground, which is sewer and water and whatever, and they found some fold-out small homes. It was a little bit less than 500 square feet for $12,000 each. They fold out, and they are a home. And all they have to do is provide the infrastructure, and they're going to house them that way.
Nick, again, you are not thinking, son. Let me get you up to speed.
I was repeating. I wasn't.
You almost got me. You know what they should do, Nick? You've seen all those tent cities that just popped up in out of nowhere within seconds in those college campuses. They've got almost identical tents by rows of 50. Why don't we see, because of course those liberal students are just going to leave them there for the city to pick up. Heaven forbid they actually pick them. Why don't we see if we can get those tents, give them to Red Bluff, and Red Bluff can use those tents because they've already been used. And that would be less than $12,000, I would think.
Well, the point is, these small shelters that we're providing, I forget what they're costing, but it's $30,000 or $40,000 each.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there's some first-time home buyers that would love to have $30,000 or $40,000 going towards the house that they're going to pay for and work their butts off. But no, we got to give it to people who don't work and are lazy and are criminals as a large part.
I was watching a clip, and down on the border they had set up 5 10,000-square-foot tents for processing centers for these people coming across. Why couldn't we set one of those up to keep these people out of the elements in the summer and the winter? In a dedicated spot, maybe next to Terre Haute Oaks out there.
Keep it out of Terre Haute. And then what we could do voter registration in the same building.
We could do it at the posse grounds down here after they take it.
Oh, see, Nick, there you go. You are a beacon of ideas. You know, one thing that was concerning, Nick, since we've been doing a lot of local, is apparently we're sending billions more to Ukraine. We're sending billions to Israel, and we're sending billions to Taiwan. To go on top of the billions we've sent to Iran to bomb Israel, that we're giving Israel money to go back and bomb Iran. But I read something that I thought was very disturbing, and I want to get more information, but I wasn't really happy about it. And I try to be fair here. I mean, I've had harsh words for him before, and I'll have harsh words for him now. But what I had read was the Republicans caved to Biden under pressure from Trump to approve that aid package for those people. What is Trump doing, giving away our money, when he's sitting there talking about how we got to stop the war in Ukraine, blah, blah, and he just, according to the story, some of the Republicans who were against this measure, Trump reached out to them and basically said, you know, we need to vote for this thing, and it ended up giving Biden a giant win. Mike Johnson caved, as would the previous speaker, McCarthy. So that's a little concerning that we're going to continue funding all of these wars at yours and mine and everybody's listening and expense.
It appears to me you believe what the media tells you.
No, this was a site that I would say I put a lot of value in, and they're not liberal, and so I know that at least there's a good shred of truth on it. And so I'm going to do a little bit more research for our next show, but if that turns out to be true, that's very disappointing, even though when compared to the opposition, Trump is a 10,000% better candidate than old Sleepy Joe, but it kind of opens up the eyes to, is anything really going to change if he gets in there?
Well, they sure changed when Biden got in.
Oh, boy.
Let me repeat again. This election shouldn't be about two old men. It should be about what direction do you want our country to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Ronnie had it the best when he was running for his first reelection. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? That was all. That was the end of his soundbite when he was running for his first reelection, is, are you better off now 4 years into his term than you were when he came in? That question should be asked right now. Are you better off under Bidenomics than you were when Trump left office? And I can tell you, the answer is, unless you're the rich elite liberals, the answer is no.
So do you think Trump's going to be convicted of any of these crimes?
I think they're going to hokey-pokey up something so that they can try to continually paint him on the media. But when you look at the merits of any and all of these things against him, none of them hold water. None of them are legit. It is a banana republic
prosecution
at all levels. And I am sure they're going to find some way to get something on so they can use that as a soundbite. That's what I think.
Christina just put on the board that she likes our show so much she's going to give us an extra 20 minutes.
She gave us a heart sign, and I don't think that's what she meant. But I do think...
Well, you know, what bothers me is if he's convicted or something, Representative Benny Thompson from Mississippi, who chairs the House J6 Committee, introduced legislation that calls for President Trump to lose his Secret Service protection if he's convicted and sent to prison.
Well, I know we got to finish the show, but my understanding is that President Trump has surrounded himself with his private security, and the Secret Service is kind of the second layer, like the outside, but his people closest to him are his closest security people that are private. So he still might be, he might be well protected, but he just won't have the umbrella that the Secret Service provides.
But what gets me is how a Missouri lawmaker under mounting pressure to resign said she hopes President Trump is assassinated. James Carville said Joe Biden's surrogates should do the wet work like they did with President Kennedy. Democrats are trying to take away Trump's Secret Service protection. Meanwhile, it costs taxpayers $4.5 million just for 1 year of Hunter Biden's Secret Service protection while he lived up in Malibu.
Wow. Well, it's the end of another show, Nick. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll do what we can.
Okay.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.